Our first lesson comes from the prophet in Isaiah, from the 62nd chapter. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, the Lord says, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. And from the 36th Psalm, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, and your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious in your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your salvation to the upright in heart. And from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, the 12th chapter, there are a variety of gifts, but it is the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses. And from John's Gospel, Jesus' first sign, chapter 2, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, but the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, to reveal his glory, and his disciples believed in him. May God add understanding to the reading of all these words. Amen. Join me in prayer. May those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Healing and wholeness. The words conjure up all kinds of images in our minds. And for those of us who were raised in the church, the healing stories of Jesus may come to mind. The healing of the Gerasene demoniac who wandered around the graveyard. Or maybe the blind man by the side of the road of whom a church camp song was written. This is a Sunday that we set aside as a service for healing and wholeness. And I want us to take a few minutes to look at the very nature of what it means to be healed and to be whole as we seek a better understanding of how those two elements apply to our own lives as well as to the lives of others, especially those whom we dearly love. There are two kinds of healing. There's a physical healing and there is a spiritual healing. Now, by me saying this, this is not some type of cop-out. It is simply the truth. A couple of weeks ago, I was making some vegetable soup, and as I was slicing a carrot, I cut a hunk out of the tip of my thumb. And thumbs bleed a lot. Boy, they bleed a lot. I added a little protein to my vegetable soup. My daughter called me shortly after I had done that and asked me why my voice seemed kind of distant as I was trying to, I had the phone on speaker, was chopping a carrot with one hand and pressing gauze on my thumb with the other hand. I told her I just cut the tip of my thumb off, and she asked me if I had to go to the hospital to get stitches. I said, no, I'll be fine. After all, I am a manly man. And then about a half hour later, she called again and told me that her husband was worried about me and do I need to go get stitches. And I said, no, I'm getting ready to go to my tap dance lesson. But in the morning, call me. And if I don't answer the phone, then come by the house to see if I bled out in bed tonight. I am reminded of that culinary accident several times a day as I try to button a shirt, try to close a zipper, do any number of things. I know that it will eventually get better, and eventually the little divot in the tip of my thumb will probably fill in, but in the meantime, it is an inconvenience and a reminder. Now, my thumb is extremely minor when you consider the vast scheme of life. I know that there are many people who are far worse off than I am, people who are in constant debilitating pain, people who hope for and long for some silver bullet to be discovered in order to cure an illness, their illness or a loved one. Some people praying for a medical miracle cure. And I know that many, if not all of us, pray at one time or another for divine intervention, especially when someone we love is desperately sick to the point of death. And it seems that too often those prayers are not answered. And I'm not going to give you flip responses. I'm just going to say that when that happens, we oftentimes ask why. And we wonder if we did not have enough faith or if the person we prayed for did not have enough faith. We wonder if our childhood Sunday school lessons were wrong or even a lie. But the truth of the matter is, as I told the children a few moments ago, sometimes things break and cannot be fixed. Sometimes physical healing is simply not possible. I believe that one of the most sobering stories in Scripture is the story of Jesus and Lazarus. It appeared in John's Gospel, and you may remember the story well. Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. He became terribly ill. His sisters Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick to the point of death. Jesus did not hurry to get there, and by the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had died. We are told that when Jesus went to the tomb, he wept. That two words are the shortest verses in Scripture, and many a junior high student, when going on a biblical scavenger hunt, have memorized that as a Bible verse for them to memorize in order to get points for their scavenger hunt. But Jesus wept, for Lazarus had died. But Jesus also called for the stone to be rolled away from the mouth of the tomb, and in a voice that was loud enough to wake the dead, he called Lazarus' name, and Lazarus came out of the tomb a little worse for wear But he came out of the tomb and was restored to his sisters. But here's the thing. Lazarus does not walk around the earth today. Lazarus died. He's dead. I have a half gallon of milk in my refrigerator, and on the neck of the bottle, there is an expiration date. It says something like, best if used by a certain date. Now, I know that I could probably make the milk last a little bit longer, but it does have an expiration date clearly printed on the neck of the bottle. And here's the truth. We all have an expiration date. Some of us have a better idea what our expiration date is than others, but make no mistake about it, there is an expiration date printed on our lives. As the unknown poet once said, the clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. There will come a time in our lives when all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put us together again any more than they could put Humpty Dumpty together again. There comes a time in every life when physical healing is no longer possible. There comes a time when a well-worn garment can no longer be mended, or a well-loved toy can no longer be repaired. But rather than discard the garment or the toy, God has a better plan for our bodies and ourselves. As I told the children in the words of the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church, Paul wrote, lo, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For this perishable nature cannot put on the imperishableness, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. And then shall come the pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Physical healing is one kind of healing, and it is the healing that we pray fervently for. But there is another kind of healing that is far greater than physical healing, because this healing never ends. Spiritual healing. Spiritual healing is not dependent upon physical health. And spiritual healing leads us to an understanding of what it means to be whole. My wife, to my astonishment, my puzzlement, relaxes by doing jigsaw puzzles. I find them crazy makers. But for her, she can get lost in that jigsaw puzzle. But there does come a time from time to time when she'll say to me, oh, I've lost a piece, I'm missing a piece. So I get on my hands and knees with flashlight in my mouth, and I'm scurrying along the ground feeling for the missing piece. And sometimes it's found and sometimes it's not. But when the missing piece is found, she rejoices like the woman who found the lost coin in Luke's gospel, because the puzzle can now be whole. It can now be complete. To be spiritually whole is to have that peace that the Apostle Paul wrote about when he referred to the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. It is that to possess that peace that Jesus came to possess in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed that the cup of suffering might be passed from his lip, but he finally concluded, if it not be possible that this cup pass from me, then nevertheless not my will but thy will be done. The peace of wholeness is what Catherine Kubler-Ross referred to as acceptance. It does not come easy, and I believe that there are times in our lives when it does not come at all on this side of the grave. We should pray for physical healings, yes. We should even pray for miracles, yes. But we must also be willing to accept the fact that the time will come when such healing is not possible, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with the depth or the quality of our faith or the faith of another. It is just the way it is, because we live in a sinful and broken world that is in need of redemption. And that is why we have a Savior. We should pray for spiritual healing, especially when physical healing does not seem possible. Years ago, when I was in an Iowa town, there was a couple who were Lutherans. They were beautiful vocalists. They sang around the community. She was diagnosed with an incurable illness that would ultimately take her life. I was having coffee with them one day at a local restaurant when they told me that things did not look good for Linda. But over the course of the months, they developed a habit of holding hands and praying together. And they had not prayed together since the early years of their marriage. They'd been married for 25 or 30 years. They prayed for a miracle. And I said to them, I think you have experienced a miracle because you've learned how to pray together. You have grown closer and closer as each day dwindled. We should always pray for physical healing, but we must also pray for spiritual healing, for wholeness as well. And we should perhaps begin by praying with someone who is dear to us. Now, the various lessons that I read to you today, the four lessons that were assigned for this Sunday, point to the intersection of both the physical and the spiritual healing. They point to the very nature of wholeness themselves. Remember the words of Isaiah. Isaiah spoke of God's joy for his people. Those who the world calls forsaken, God calls delight. For God looks upon us with a delight that as a bridegroom looks upon his bride when he sees her for the first time walking down the aisle. You do not get to see what I get to see, but when the groom sees the double doors open and his bride walk down, the look on his face is unforgettable. The psalmist reminds us of God's hesed, or steadfast love, a love that never dims, never dies, never lets us go, no matter what happens to us in life. It is a love that extends to the heavens and beyond. God's faithfulness just extends to the clouds and beyond. It is a love that is not dependent upon our nature or our worthiness, but it is dependent upon the very nature of God, who the epistle of 1 John says is the essence of love. And the gospel lesson talks about a wedding reception. They lasted for 7 days. God wants us to enjoy life because Jesus and his disciples were at the wedding reception. God does not want a bunch of Eeyore Christians walking around this world like Winnie the Pooh's friend Eeyore, who sees only thistles and thinks that life is full of thistles. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, the psalmist sang. Our joy lies in the knowledge that in both life and death we do not belong to ourselves or to this world, but we belong to the Lord. And finally, the epistle lesson, the letter to the Corinthians. God has given to each one of us a spiritual gift to be shared for the common good. Together, not individually, but together, we are the body of Christ here on earth at this time and at this place. We are to do the work of Christ. We are to find our lives by losing our lives, and we are to do so boldly. For as long as God, in the divine's infinite wisdom, gives us breath, we are to live every moment of our life to the glory of God. To God be that glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.